If we can turn back together to our reading in the book of Psalms, Psalm 13. We want to look at this psalm together this evening. Psalm 13. May we see the psalms begin with questions and end with a steadfast declaration of the love of God. How long, O Lord, is the question. How long, the psalmist asks. Four times he asks that question. How long? But then as you see in verse 5, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I'm sure we've all experienced times in our lives where we've had to wait for someone, and sometimes we begin to think that we have been forgotten about. Someone's promised to call in to see us, and there's no sign of them. Or someone said they'll give us a lift somewhere, and you're waiting for them, and there's no sign. But perhaps the most common one is if you're waiting for a tradesman who's promised to call round about a job. You're waiting and you're waiting, but there's no sign. Nothing. Now, when these kinds of things happen, which they do from time to time, what do you do when that happens? You maybe take great delight in telling others about your experience. So-and-so promised to come round, but they didn't. They've let me down. You can take a great sense and pleasure sometimes, depending on who it was. You can say, oh, I knew that they wouldn't come. I knew that they would let me down again. But have you ever had that experience of the feeling of being forgotten about by God? You're maybe praying to God. You're waiting on God. And nothing seems to happen. You're beginning to think that you're forgotten about. You're going through an experience in your life that you're finding very difficult. And you're wondering, where is God in the midst of all of this? Has he forgotten about me? Is he really there? How easy is it to speak to someone else about that kind of experience? Maybe you're going through an experience like that as a believer, and you're wondering, where is God in the midst of this? But if I share it with someone, they'll wonder if I'm really a Christian at all. Because these are the kinds of thoughts that Christians should never have. Or maybe you're seeking the Lord, and you're crying out to the Lord, and you're beginning to question, is he really hearing? Is he bothering with me? He's forgotten about me. And you just can't share that with anybody, because you're concerned what kind of reaction you will get. Well, you're not alone. There are times when we can all go through these times in our lives. But it's not about staying silent, but about calling out to God more. If this describes you, take courage, because you are not alone. And that's what we see here in Psalm 13. In fact, both our readings this evening describe different situations where someone feels forgotten about. Here, David in this psalm, he cries out, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten all about me? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Do you not hear my cry to you? You're not interested in my cry to you. He is questioning if God has forgotten. And yet it turns to a sense of confidence. And our reading in the Gospel of Mark reminds us of another situation, where Jesus himself cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We don't maybe immediately see the connection between the two. But as we see David saying, "How long will you forget me?" But then being able to say, "But I have trusted your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." Isn't it not looking ahead to the one who said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it is because of that, the one that was forsaken for us as sinners, the one who bore our sins on the cross, that is where we can take confidence as we look to God, that he has not forgotten us, but that he will remember us, and he does remember us. We come to a time of communion. And maybe we look back since the last time we maybe sat at the communion table. And we wonder to ourselves, what have I done since the last time? Have I forgotten what I did? Or more importantly, have I forgotten what the Lord has done for me? Because we can easily just go on in our lives and forget about it and not focus on it as enough as we should. And that is why he says, "Come and do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I have done for you." So we want to look at Psalm 13 together, and we're going to look at three things. We're going to look first of all at David's question, and secondly, David's prayer, and then finally, David's confidence. Going through the psalm, first of all, we see David's question in verse 1 and 2. We all experience a time, perhaps, of waiting on God. Even as we come together tonight, we wait upon the Lord. As we offer up our prayers to God, we wait upon the Lord. We wait on his response. We wait on his action in our midst. We wait on him to reveal himself to us. We are constantly waiting on God. And we live in a world where we expect instant answers. Everything moves so fast these days. If you send a message now, if you don't get a response within 10 minutes, you're wondering, did that person get my text or did that person get my email? Why aren't they getting back to me? We're impatient. We don't know what it is to wait on a response anymore. But just because we expect immediate answers in that sense, it doesn't mean that's the way we are to treat God. Saying, "Well, I prayed this morning and he hasn't answered me. Has he forgotten about me? Is he not interested in me?" God so often teaches us through patiently waiting on him. That's what we sang in Psalm 40 together. We sang those words, well-known words, "I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear." There's a sense of patience, a sense of waiting on Lord, on the Lord. But what do we do as we are waiting? Do we feel that God has really forgotten about us? Or what do we do when we feel like God has forgotten about our pleas to him? Can we ask God, "How long? How long must I wait?" Well, that's what we see with David in this psalm, the question that he has. How long, O Lord? We don't know maybe exactly what situation David is in here as he writes these words. If you look at David's life in the scriptures, you see the shepherd boy who became a king, a servant of the Lord, the one who was the apple in the eye of the Lord. And yet you still see him going through his own various trials. And there's perhaps a number of occasions where he could have uttered these words. And as you look at the Psalms themselves, you see it's not just once he says these kinds of words. How long, O Lord? But what this cry shows is the depths that he was in. Even as you look at Psalm 40, you think of the psalmist there, how he is lifted up. And here, David, it's almost like he's down in the depths once more. His experience is this question: how long? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me? How long, O Lord, must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long, O Lord, shall my enemy be exalted over me? You see the depths of his experience there. Will you forget me forever? Will you hide your face? He's feeling as if God has just turned away from him, forgotten about, forsaken. Will this sorrow I am experiencing never go away? Do you not care what I'm going through? Will you let my enemies exult over me? How long, O Lord? What is your own how long, O Lord, tonight? Do you have that question in your own experience just now? How long, O Lord, will this go on? We can have it in our own personal experience where we're crying out to God, how long must I go through this trial? How long must I suffer these things? How long do I have to wait upon you? Lord, I've been crying out to you for days, weeks, months, perhaps even years. How long must I wait? It can be for yourself or it can be for someone else. Maybe you're praying for someone else. Someone else who is not yet a Christian. Someone who's close to you. Someone who you love. And you've been praying for years and you're saying, how long, O Lord? How long must I go on like this? Are you not hearing? Have you forgotten about me? Why isn't God hearing? Why isn't he helping me? We go through these experiences. We all go through them. And we can take courage in this psalm. This psalm helps us. Because it reminds us, first of all, that we can ask these questions. We can approach God with these questions. There are different kinds of psalms in the book of Psalms. Many different kinds, but the most common is the psalm of lament. And that's what this psalm is, Psalm 13. A lament is a psalm of grief and sadness, of expressing this deep sorrow before God's face, pouring out your heart before God. And so it helps us to understand that these are the kinds of questions that we go through. These are the kinds of experiences that we go through. We are not alone. They are in God's word for a purpose. In his commentary on the Psalms, Derek Kidner says this: the very presence of lament in Scripture is a witness to God's understanding. The very presence of these words, like Psalm 13, are a reminder and a witness to us of God's understanding. God knows what you're going through. God knows exactly what you're going through. God knows your cry. And you may feel like these are questions you shouldn't ask as a Christian, that we shouldn't come with these kinds of demands of God. How long? And in a sense, you may find that there is something wrong in that kind of question. But it depends how you're asking. And David here is asking, looking to God longingly. It's not a foolish question. It's not someone who is a fool who has maybe said for a time, well, I'll try and see if there is a God. And as another psalm says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. This is not David being a fool. This is David turning to God. Not just as a disinterested spectator. He's not just turning away from God and saying, how long, Lord, are you really there? But he's turning, he's engaged with God. He's looking to God. He's asking this question longingly of God, looking for an answer. Again, you go back to Psalm 40, and what does it say? As he's waiting patiently on the Lord, it's not waiting without action. As he's waiting, he's crying out to God, my voice and cry to hear. So there's this cry going up to God, waiting on God, and that is the way we are to be. A people who are calling out to God, even in those questions, how long? They are still showing that we're not fools who don't believe there is a God, but that we are indeed looking to God to answer. To the God who does not forget his people. To the God who hears the cries of his people. David is waiting. And you turn to a passage like Isaiah 49. There are many other passages we could go to and remind ourselves that God does not forget. But Isaiah 49 says this in verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. That is the question, the statement that they have. But God's response is this. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. There are times when even a mother can forget her child. Even these may forget. Yet I will not forget you. That is what God says. I will not forget you. A people who feel forsaken and forgotten, God gives this reminder, I will not forget you. So David's question is a question we can all have. How long, O Lord? How long before you answer me? But it's not a hopeless cry. It's a cry that's engaging with God and looking to the God who does not forget. And then we move on in this psalm. We move into verse 3 and 4. And here we see David's prayer. David's cry to the Lord. He has a question that turns to a cry. David's question that we might have ourselves is one that we can be too embarrassed to share with anyone else. But here is what we are to do if we have these questions. And what is it that we are to do? What does he do in this psalm? He doesn't just question, he cries out in prayer. Verse 3, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. He cries out to God. Charles Spurgeon, in his book entitled Only a Prayer Meeting, he says this in the first chapter. He makes this remark: how could we expect a blessing if we are too idle to ask for it? How could we expect a blessing if we are too idle to ask for it? What was he saying there? He's saying we were idle in prayer. And how can we expect a blessing from God if we are too idle to ask for it? Have you prayed to God? Have you asked God? Have you cried out to him to answer? David did. And David's prayer here shows he cannot do this for himself, but it shows a trust in God. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. So in the midst of this question, how long, O Lord, there is still this statement of faith. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. What a strong commitment there is there. Now, how is our commitment to the Lord? How is our commitment to the Lord tonight? Are we as committed as this, where we are looking to the Lord our God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth? Are we approaching Him in this way? O Lord, only you can help me here. But I believe you can. Therefore, I am crying out to you. There is no one else I can go to. There is nowhere else I can turn. But consider and answer me, O Lord my God. He is claiming the promise of God. And we can do that as well. He has this boldness to come to God, to come before Him, not just with a question, how long, O Lord, which take boldness itself, but the boldness to still say, you are the Lord my God. And that's the boldness we should have as well. To claim the promises of God. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given to you. So are we coming to God and saying, Lord, your word says, if I seek, I will find. Hear my cry, Lord, for I am truly seeking you with all my heart, but I feel like you've forgotten me. But yet I can still claim your promise. Anyone who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, that is your promise. I am praying that promise to you. When we feel forgotten by God, it would be easy to stop praying. It would be easy to become idle in our prayer. But how can we expect a blessing if we are too idle to ask? If we feel forgotten, that's the time even more so to come to God and plead with Him. It's said that when the gospel came to parts of Africa, and people were converted to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there was an earnestness in their prayers. And you would go to some villages and you would find that people would often have their own place to go to pray. So it would take time by themselves each day to go out to an isolated place by themselves to pray to God. And people could tell where they were going to pray because over time, as they went through the grass became flattened and there was a pathway to each individual person's place of prayer. They all had their own place to go. But what was obvious to others as they were seeing these places was when people stopped to pray. And sometimes they would just give them a gentle encouragement. And all they would say was this, brother, the grass is growing on your path. In other words, you're not taking that time to go and pray to your Father. The grass is growing on your path. It was a gentle brotherly love rebuke. Don't neglect the place of prayer. And sometimes we need that gentle nudge as well, especially when we maybe feel that the Lord has forgotten about us. Have we prayed as we should? Even as we prepare for this weekend, as we look to the Lord's blessing, how can we expect a blessing if we are too idle to ask for it? If we are too busy in other things? But to take that time to ask the Lord's blessing, to encourage us in our hearts. And we need that faith to approach God, to come before Him and to come to Him with boldness. And do we see the one we have to come to? The Lord Jesus Himself. As we read in Mark 15, as Jesus was crucified, what happened? The curtain in the temple was torn in two. The significance of that, that now we have access through Jesus to the very throne of God. Something they never had to that point. They had to go through the high priest. And then for the Day of Atonement once a year, they could go into the very Holy of Holies. But only the high priest. And yet here we are today. We have that access. We can come boldly through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who it says in Hebrews, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So in such a time as this, as we feel, how long, O Lord, have you forgotten me? We have that place of prayer to approach the very throne of grace, the throne of God, through our high priest. But we need faith. And that's what we see here as well. Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Light up my eyes. Charles Spurgeon translates that this way. Let the eye of faith be clear that I might see you. That's what David's cry is here. Let the eye of faith be clear that I might see you. Isn't that what we need? The eye of faith to see Jesus. To see Him who was crucified. To see Him who was forsaken. To see Him who bore our sins. To see Him in the midst of feeling like our enemy has prevailed over us. And to see Him that we are victorious through Him. Oswald Chambers once said, "Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace." So the answer isn't always that you're taken out of the situation. The answer isn't always that God will take away whatever issue or problem or trial that you are experiencing. Because some things are only learned in a fiery furnace. But even there, we are not forgotten. Because God is with us. Wherever we may go, He is with us. And whatever fears we have, he goes with us. Whatever anxieties you have tonight, whatever question you have, how long, O Lord? He goes with you in it. And you can cry out to him. So David prays. Let us pray as we approach this weekend, that we may be blessed by God. Let it not be said of us that we did not receive a blessing because we were too idle to ask. We were too caught up in everything else, thinking we are forgotten by God, when God is saying, I have remembered you. I will never forget you. So David prays. Then finally, we just want to see briefly David's confidence. In these last two verses, verse 5 and 6, we see David's confidence come through so clearly. His hope, his declaration. What's the most important word in this psalm? There are many great words that you could look at and pick out as great, important words. Steadfast love, that covenant love, that wonderful word. But that's not the word my eyes fall on just now. The first word that catches my eye is that word in verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. There is a transformation. There is a turning. He has asked, how long, O Lord? How long? How long? How long? He's asked. But now as he's prayed, he's able to say, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. It's a great word that changes situations so often. Psalm 77, which we sang together, is a reminder there as well, how the turning comes. It's not but it's so similar to it. When you sing that psalm, you see all these questions coming up. Then you see a turning back to God. And that's what we have here as well. Whenever we have these questions, we can still turn to God and say, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, you are with me. We have these promises. And that is what David is doing here. He is claiming this promise. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. There is a God who knows everything about him. You think of what God knew about David. How we see David's life so clearly. Yet he still says that he was the apple of his eye. And then you think of your own life and you think, well, how could God love me? I wouldn't be surprised if God has forgotten about me. And yet God still has a claim on you. He knows everything about you. There is a God who knows everything about me, yet I can say he is still with me. That is what David is saying. Can you say that tonight? There is a God who knows everything about you, but he is still with you, and he's not leaving me. A little child at night may be scared of the dark. Sometimes you think all they would need was a light put on, but that's not enough. There are times when all that they want, more than they want than anything else, is for a mother or a father to be there with them. To know that confidence, to know that assurance that they have a loving parent looking after them. And that's what David has here. Even in the midst of my darkness, even in the midst of my experience of asking, how long, O Lord, must all of this go on? Yet he says, you are with me. And because of that, I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. The Lord has been good to me. He knows his salvation. He knows his great steadfast love. And how can we know this for ourselves? Well, it's as we look to the cross. Because as we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we look to the one who was truly forsaken, who cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because that's what we deserved. Yet God has remembered us. He has loved us with that great love that he gave his own son, that he turned away from him, that he experienced that darkness, that absence of God. Why? For you and for me. So we would know that we are remembered by God, that he remembers us, poor sinners, who cannot help ourselves, but God, who is rich in mercy, can. And that is the wonder of his love, that he would love us despite ourselves. So often we forget him. So often we can feel that we are forgotten by him. But the truth is, he never forgets his children. He is with us through all. So may we remember him, for he remembers us and shows it at the cross, where we see that forsakenness that we deserved. Instead, we can rejoice. We can sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. God has been good to us. God has blessed us. So may we trust in his steadfast love, and may our hearts rejoice in his salvation. We are not forgotten. Let us remember him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do rejoice in your word, for it reminds us of your great love towards us, a love so amazing, so divine, a love so pure, so far removed from our love, which is so distracted, so incomplete so often. But yet, O Lord, may we lift our eyes to you. And even as we cry, perhaps, how long, may we remember, Lord, that you remember us. So, Lord, may we delight in you as you delight in us. May we know your steadfast love and rejoice in your salvation. For we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing to God's praise in Psalm 13, these words we've considered together in the Scottish Psalter. Psalm 13. The last two verses, verse 5 and 6. But I have all my confidence, thy mercy set upon. My heart within me shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will unto the Lord my God sing praises cheerfully, because he hath his bounty shown to me abundantly. May we prayerfully sing these words to God. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.